We're going to pick up at verse 6 tonight as we continue talking about the biblical practice of justice. We spent several weeks talking about understanding biblical justice as compared to social justice. We talked a little more last week about the practicalities of it. And it's not enough to know what the Bible says. It's not enough to understand those truths. We want to apply those truths. And so we introduced that idea of practicing justice, that God's called us to do justly, to love mercy, to walk humbly with our God. We spent quite a bit of time talking about loving mercy. And tonight we're going to talk about walking humbly. If you're able, let's stand together for the reading of God's word. And again, I want to welcome everybody, especially want to welcome our guests. Thank you for coming to worship with us tonight. And the scripture says, "Wherewithal shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before the high God? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves of a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams or with 10,000s of rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn from my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul?" Let's pray together. Father, thank you for this great privilege that we have together to sing your praises, to open the word of God. And Lord, right now I pray that you would help us. Lord, everyone here, everyone listening tonight has need to change. Lord, we have need of your healing. We have need of your help and your mercy and your grace. Lord, we are nothing without you, and we can do nothing without you. So, Father, we pray that you'll help us. Please guide us into all truth and teach us by your Spirit tonight. Help us to rightly divide the word of God tonight. And, Father, if anyone hearing the word tonight has never been born again, we pray that tonight they would say yes to Jesus. Tonight they would repent of their sin, repent of their unbelief, and place their full trust and faith in Jesus alone. Please help all of us to love you, to live for you, to follow you. And we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. When we consider how the Lord deals with the issue of justice and doing justly, it's awesome to consider how complete the Lord deals with the issue. Some people emphasize justice to the point that they become proud in their enforcing the justice to others, the law to others. Others emphasize the mercy aspect of it, and they despise those who would stand up for the truth. But God's word brings it all together because he not only calls us to do justly and to love mercy, but he calls us to do this walking humbly with our God. And so when we have the justice and we have the mercy and those things are being put forth and it's done with a humble, meek spirit, then everything is done the way God would have it to be done. In both justice and mercy, we have to act with humility. So he asked the question, how do I deal with what's going on in the world? How do I respond to God's goodness in light of our sin? How do I deal with that? Well, do justly, love mercy, and walk humbly with your God. Now, when he asked the questions about the sacrifices and the offerings, the point isn't that the Old Testament sacrifices and offerings were irrelevant. The point was that they had to be done from obedience in the heart. We can do a lot of things outwardly. People can have a lot of religious expression in their life. They can do a lot of things outwardly, caring for other people who are experiencing injustice in the world. But if we don't do that with a surrendered heart to God, then what we're doing is actually offensive to God. When we attempt to do good works and we don't do it with faith in Jesus, then it's an offense to God. If it's not done in faith, then it's actually sin. James 4:6 says, "But he giveth more grace, wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble." Amen. Now, humility does not mean giving up the right to justice, but it does mean employing justice and mercy with both of those with an attitude of humility. When we walk with God, we are walking in humility. If we're not walking in humility, then we're not walking with God. We cannot be prideful and walk with God at the same time. Philippians 2, verses 3 through 4, we actually looked at this passage Sunday as well, but Philippians 2, verse 3 says, "Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. So sometimes we're quick to point out the pride in what's going on in the world, but we're slow to see pride in our own lives. We're quick to see pride in other people, but we're slow to see it in our own thinking. And so we want to be quick to look to the Word of God and let it show us our real hearts, our real motives. Now, pride is revealed in our actions. And one of the biggest ways our pride is revealed is when we fail to give the gospel to somebody who lives an openly sinful lifestyle. Our pride can be revealed through times when we look down on somebody who we don't see as maybe as good or spiritual as we are. Our pride's revealed in the way we treat other people. And the way we treat other people is most shown in whether or not we give them the gospel. We'll never lead people to Christ without having humility to personally and lovingly share the gospel. We want to speak the truth. We want to do it in love. Ephesians 4:15, but speaking the truth in love, you may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. 2 Timothy 2:25. In meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth. And listen, I don't know if you felt this before in your own heart, but it feels sometimes it's a balancing act, because we want to uphold the truth and justice, but we also want to uphold mercy and share the grace of God, and it takes a balance to do that, and that humility is where that balance is found. And it seems to me that a lot of times some people are too timid, they're too shy, they're too afraid to be bold enough to proclaim the truth and declare God's truth and his justice. They're afraid to do that. And then a lot of times when people do have the courage to do that, they're lacking in mercy, they're lacking in humility, they're lacking in love. And it seems to be a rare thing in Christianity in America today to see somebody who has the justice and the mercy and humility. And so that's what we want to strive for, and only through the power of the Holy Spirit of God can we do that, to hold a biblical position and have a humble spirit at the same time. And if we don't hold a biblical position with a humble spirit, then we don't have the Spirit of Christ himself. Let this mind, back in Philippians 2, verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. And so we've got to put that mind in us and have that humility, that obedience, that submissive spirit that Jesus modeled for us. Now, if we're going to be people who do justly, love mercy, and walk humbly with our God, we have to be people who love the lost. We have to be people who serve others with compassion. We have to be people who reach out to others with the gospel of Jesus Christ. So how do we do that? We've got to declare what Christ has done for this world. We are to be the ambassadors for Christ. We're to be the ones who declare what he has done. So we know that injustice exists all around us. We know that we live in a world that's filled with iniquity and sin. We know that. And even when we try to live justly, I don't know if you've ever felt like this, but it could feel like whatever we do is never going to be enough. We can feel like our efforts are pointless because they're not sufficient. But I'm telling you that what Christ has done is sufficient. And what we do is simply tell what he has done. So it's not up to us to do it all. It's up to us to tell everybody what he's already done. So what has he done? Well, he's provided justice for all. We say that in our Pledge of Allegiance. And in our Constitution, founded on the principles of the Word of God, strives to provide justice for all. But I can tell you that our Constitution falls short. Our government institutions fall short. And though that is our goal, although that is our aim, and it should always be our aim as a nation to provide justice for all, we're broken people. We're fallen people and we're going to come short. But what Christ has done doesn't come short. He has provided justice for all. None of us can reach the standard that God requires. There is none righteous, no, not one. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And we know that the wages of sin is death. And if you haven't learned Romans 5:12 by now, I encourage you to learn it. Romans chapter 5 and verse 12. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. We understand that we are a fallen people, and it goes all the way back to the garden. And when Adam rebelled against God, he brought sin and death into the world. We're born with a sin nature. We have to deal with original sin. We have to deal with our own personal sin, where we willfully sin against God, and we're all guilty of that. And the penalty for our sin is death. Everybody deserves God's wrath. It's not just those people out there that deserve the wrath of God. You and I deserve the wrath of God. But God loves us so much that he made the payment for our sins. Nothing we ever do could earn God's forgiveness. There's nothing that you and I could ever do to earn God's forgiveness. His forgiveness is a free gift. For by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Why am I trying to pound that in tonight? Because when we talk about trying to right injustices, it's a lot about what we do. It's about action. It's about things that we do. And so many times when we start thinking and talking about things that we ought to do, people really get confused real quick. Like, I've got to do these things in order to be saved. I got to do these things in order to stay saved. And that's not the message. The message is, he offers salvation. He's the one that has provided the only way to have justice. And God's justice was met when Christ died for us. God commended his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. So when Jesus died on the cross and rose again, he did it as our substitute. And we can strive for social justice in a world, but we're only going to find spiritual justice through the cross of Calvary. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. The message of justice is the central message our world needs to hear, and it's the justice that Jesus accomplished when he paid for the sin of the whole world. What good is accomplishing social justice going to do anybody? What good is it going to do them if they die in their sin? It doesn't accomplish anything. So we have to bring his justice into it. He made a way for everyone to have justice. He made a way for justice to be given to all. He made a way for us to be set free in his justice. But one day he's going to bring justice to the earth. And I want to share this with you from Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. Isaiah 9, verse 6. You recognize this one? For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. You know, a lot of times we look at that verse and we think about the prophecy of Jesus coming the first time. We think about his advent. We think about Christmas. That's a Christmas time verse. But I want you to look on at verse 7. Of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. I want you to know that when Jesus came the first time, he came meek and lowly. You remember how he came in upon an ass and upon the colt, the foal of an ass? He came in very lowly and meek, but he's going to come again as king. He's going to come again in all of his glory. And he began something. He began his kingdom when he came the first time, and he established it, and it is spreading, and it spreads today through the gospel that we preach. But he is coming again, and he will rule and reign on the earth. He's going to establish a kingdom, and he's going to rule and reign forevermore. That kingdom that he started. And so, listen, social justice in our world today promises peace that it can never bring. But Jesus is bringing judgment and justice that will last forever and ever. That's the King who we serve. That's the justice we seek for. And it's only in Christ that we can find justice for our sin through his finished work on the cross. It's only in Christ that we find the promise of an ultimate justice that hasn't come yet, but it is coming. I want to be a part of his kingdom now. And I want to help others come into that kingdom now. And we do that through preaching the gospel. Tonight, I want to ask you to stand with me. We're going to get ready to break up into our small groups tonight. If you're new to Calvary on a Wednesday night, we do things a little weird here because we're weird. Or at least your pastor is. But we've got four different groups. You're welcome to stay in here. I'll be leading a group in here. Brother Mike, raise your hand. That's Brother Mike, little guy over here. He'll be leading a group. You can follow him if you want to.